not about us. It's all about you. And we ask you, Lord, let your presence flow deep and strong right into our minds and right into our hearts right now, as we know we are ready to receive of your goodness, receive of your power. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, today the title of the sermon is Finding God in Your Darkness. Finding God in Your Darkness. You know, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever been in a situation where you experienced total and complete darkness? You know, many years ago while living in Kalihi Valley, I remember there was a total blackout. It was about 8 or 8:30 during the night, and everyone, the entire neighborhood, had no electricity at all. I mean, total, complete blackout. It was like an absolute pitch blackness that you could see. In a sense, it was totally black, right? But, you know, my kids, they were much younger then. Benson, he was maybe around 8 years old. Abby, maybe around 4 years old. And, you know, just like a good daddy, right? I wanted to be their hero, so I wanted to calm their fear. So what did I do? I immediately searched for the flashlight. But you know what? I went all over the place. But remember, it's pitch black. And, you know, the kids, they started to become very anxious, and they started to cry because they said, Daddy, we're so afraid of the dark, you know. Come on, we want the light. But, you know, I couldn't find the flashlight. I couldn't find any candles because we're just stumbling in the dark. You know, John and I were just looking for all these things, but we couldn't find them. And so guess what happened? We had to sit in the darkness. And, you know, my wife and I, we tried to comfort the kids, but they held onto us tightly. And they wanted this to be over. Well, guess what? It lasted for a couple of hours. And, you know, when the light finally came back on, there was such great joy on the kids' faces. Yes, light. And it's almost like God just spoke right into the darkness and created the light. Can you imagine what a glorious day that was when God just spoke right into the darkness and then there was light? You know, for the person who has become blind and then regains his sight back, can you imagine the great joy that he experiences as he can see again? Think about that. Or for someone who is spiritually blind, guess what? They cannot see God because they have not experienced the great love and peace of God. Why? Because he does not believe that God is real, right? And that he exists. So, you know, for this person, he must make a decision. To move from the darkness into God's light, he must receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Then there will be great peace and great joy. But, you know, for simplicity's sake, let's just define darkness as the absence of light. In the spiritual sense, if you don't have the light of God, guess what? You're going to have unrest. You're going to have strife. And you're going to have darkness. You know, this is what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Can you read that with me? Ready? Go. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who what? Don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. It says they are unable to see the glorious light because guess what? They don't have Jesus Christ residing in their hearts. And it is true for all of us as believers. We had to make a decision to receive Christ to come in and live inside of us, live in our hearts. But here's the thing I want you to understand. At times, the Christian believer may also experience spiritual darkness. How? Because here's the thing, right? Sometimes there are times that we may stray away from the presence of God. You know, we may be distracted from the things of the world. And guess what? Especially in those times when we have made evil or sinful choices, we're going to simply feel all alone. And I've been there because I know there are times that I knew that I was where I was supposed to be, yet I was straying away. I was getting distracted by the things of the world. And suddenly, you're kind of wondering, so where did God go? But you realize you created your own mess, your own darkness, so to speak. And they may feel like they're just stumbling around in the dark, you know. And sometimes, you know, some Christians say, you know what? The devil's really got a hold of me. And You know, it's just like how I'm fumbling in the dark for a flashlight, right? To the point where I'm thinking, I can't find it. So what do? We just sit in the darkness. And some Christians, yeah, they sit in the darkness for an extended period of time. And they're kind of wondering, will it ever get better? What happened to my relationship with God? And we realize, yeah, the devil, he's right there. He's helping us to stray farther and farther away from the presence of God. And we must make that effort to say, Lord, I desire you. Lord, I'm crying out to you. Please help me. Because I want to experience the fullness of your holy presence once again. And we realize with this kind of darkness, you know, usually it's one of two things, right? You're going to sense a presence of evil and you're going to experience destruction. And sometimes it's both evil and destruction, where your life is kind of like, how did I get here? What happened? And we realize God never lets us go. And it's up to us. Are we going to return back to the Father? So here's the question. How do we find our Father God in our darkness? It says our darkness, okay? That's key to really look at that and say it's our darkness, okay? Because we realize God cannot reside in darkness. But guess what? He'll be with us. Look at number one here. It says, by choosing to turn to him while in the darkness. And let's read this verse together in 1 John 1:5. Ready? Go. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is what? His light. In him there is no darkness at all. There's absence of darkness in the light of God. You got to understand that. So, like I said, with that question I asked, it says here, how do we find our Father God in our darkness? Well, God cannot be in darkness because what? He is light. But here's the thing I want you to understand. He can be in our darkness. Because in those times when you're hurting, when you're just wondering, man, is this ever going to get better? You have to realize God is there. He's speaking to you. He's showing you, child, I'm right here. But sometimes we choose not to listen. And the very fact is, he promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. So yes, even in our darkest moments in our lives, because I know I can name some moments in my life, even as a Christian, there were dark moments. But as I look back, I realize, hey, he never left me. He was always there. I may have thought at that moment he had left me, but you know the truth is, he never did. And so when you have made some wrong choices in life and now you're in this spiritual darkness, know that God is with you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. But in order for that darkness to become light, we got to choose him and turn to him once again. Because remember, when there's the light of God, there is no darkness. But this darkness that's in our lives will only become light when we make a choice to say, Lord, I'm reaching out to you once again. Lord, I'm crying out to you. Then our darkness will become light. Not until we cry out to him and we want him to come and be the strength of our lives once again. I want you to look what it says in Joel 2, 12 to 13. Read it with me. Ready? Go. That is why the Lord says, turn to me when? Right now, while there is time. Give me your what? Your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Oh, return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Wow. And, you know, we talked about this several weeks ago about, you know, how people in the Bible, they tear their clothes, right, when they're in anguish, like that, right? But look what it says here. Joel says, no. He tells us that God says, tear your what? Your hearts instead. Because, you know, sometimes I hear someone say, you know, Pastor Ben, I'm not ready to turn to God. I know I heard the message, and I realize, you know what, it is the truth. But I'm not ready. I got to be 100% certain, and I got to have my life in total order before I receive God into my life. And guess what? Never happens. This person never makes a decision for Christ because he thinks everything has to be perfect before he can allow God to enter in. But you know, the scripture tells us, no, God will just take you as you are. All you got to do is just open your heart, even just a little bit. It tells us to tear your heart. So you can just let just a little light in. God, he will do the rest. I want to ask you a question here. With this tennis ball, do you think there's darkness in this tennis ball? How do you know that? No light, right? But how do you know? Have you ever looked inside the tennis ball and say, oh, it's dark in there? Well, through wisdom, through knowledge, right, we know, yeah, it is dark in there, okay? But what does it take for me to bring light into this? Yeah, well, I can rip it apart, right? it will not pop. It will not burst, okay, because it's not like a balloon, right? But if I got a needle, wham, I just stick it right in there, okay? And then I just pull it out. Is there light now? Yeah. How much does it take to let light into this ball? That's a little what? Pinprick. I want you to understand something. You could think of this as your heart. All it takes is just a little to say, Lord, I want you. I need you. Because sometimes people say, no, I have to be 100% sold out. I have to be 100% all glorifying God before I can let him in. No, God says just a little pinprick will do. That my light will enter in if you just open your heart. Just tear your heart just a little bit. It's not about tearing your clothes. Oh, I'm so anguished. No, it's a little pinprick and say, Lord, I receive you. And God says, I will do the rest. It's up to us. Are we willing just to open our hearts just even a little bit? Because, you know, God will shatter the darkness even in that little pinprick of light. And as you continue to go to him, he's going to open your heart even more. And more light will enter in as his light will flood your life. All it takes is just a little bit, a little pinprick of light. I want you to look at that verse here in 2 Corinthians 4:6. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine where? Oh, in our hearts, to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Made his light shine in our hearts. That's where the light of God shines most brightly. It's in your heart. It's in my heart. It's when we know that God, he's Lord and Master over our lives. His light will shine so brightly. It all started just a little pinprick of light. Just saying, Lord, I believe. Lord, I receive. And God will do the rest. Amen? I want you to look at number two here. It says here, by choosing to praise God, where? In the darkness. And, you know, there may be times in your life, right, where you may try your best to stay in the right path that God has laid out for you, yet it seems that, you know what? Darkness still remains. You ever felt like that? You're thinking, okay, I'm doing all the right things. I'm going to church. I'm going to Bible study. I'm doing all these things. I'm serving at the park and whatever it may be. But, hey, how come there's still darkness in my life? At least you feel that way. You know what I'm talking about? Well, you know what you should do? Take a deep breath, and you're going to do as David did. Look at Psalm 43. Look what he says here. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Let me stop right there. He sensed there's evil in his life. Yeah. He may be doing things right, you know, before God, but come on, there's evil all around him. Let's go on at verse 3. Ready? Go. Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet, what? Praise him, my Savior and my God. I'm going to tell you, if you really experience there's trouble, there's distress all around you, you feel like there's a sense of evil, praise God with all of your heart. You know, that may come in the form of a praise and worship song. It could be just a crying out to God. Whatever you can do to invoke the presence of God to come forth strongly in your life. It's showing to God that I'm depending on you. I know this evil is not going to remain. It's not going to stay as I turn my heart towards you. That's what it takes. You got to let that praise come out. Don't let the devil take a hold of your heart, because the devil, he's trying. He's going to try to get you distracted, get you into the things that will destroy your life. Don't let him, because the question is, where does your praise start? It has to start as you wake up in the morning. You start praising God already. As you start to kind of open your eyes, you're wiping your eyes, you know, taking the crud out of your eyes, you go, praise God. You know, it should be like that. Whereas you wake up in the morning, you're already praising him. And you know, God, he does what he does. He rescues us because he loves us. And he knows if we really love him, we're going to give him all the glory, all the goodness that's in our life. And we know his light will come into our darkness. His light will shine brightly so that there will be no darkness in our lives. And the question is, are you willing to praise and continue to love and trust him no matter what? Yeah, even in the darkness, even in the troubled times, are you willing to praise him? You know, there was this newspaper article that I recently read, and it's entitled, Honeymooning Couple Survives Natural Disasters, okay? And it was about this Swedish newlyweds. Their names are Steven and Erica Zavanstrom. And, you know, they had planned the perfect honeymoon, a four-month travel tour to celebrate their love and build a lifetime of memories, and, you know. But here's the thing. From the very first stop on their itinerary, things started to go extremely wrong, okay? In Munich, they got stuck in a severe snowstorm that buried most of Europe under a blanket of snow. And from there, they traveled to Cairns, Australia, only to be hit by a cyclone, which forced them and thousands of others into public shelters to seek refuge. Can you imagine that? But then they continued on. They made their way to Brisbane, only to find most of the city underwater from the flooding of historic proportions. This is the worst they ever had. And so they headed for Perth, right? And they found themselves fleeing rampant brush fires. Man, hope they don't come here. but here's the thing. They arrived in New Zealand, right, to find that the country is in a state of panic from a 6.5 magnitude earthquake. It doesn't stop there. So they went to Bali, right, and they braced for a violent monsoon. Oh, and even so, right, all seemed to look bright as they landed in Tokyo, okay? And there they enjoyed 2 days in the amazing city of Tokyo. And it seemed like everything was fine, right? Until one of the largest earthquakes on recorded jolted Japan. You guys remember that earthquake, right? And it created a devastating tsunami, which in turn resulted in one of the most dangerous nuclear disasters in modern history. Yeah, that was the time they were there. And amazingly, the couple survived their own ongoing problems without injury and in extraordinarily good humor. And you know what Erica says? She says, well, at least we are fortunate when it comes to love. We still have each other. And it makes us kind of think, doesn't it? Could you also say that about you and God? Your relationship with him, I'm talking about. Do you still praise him and love him regardless of the darkness that may be around you with all the problems and the difficulties? Because, yeah, there are times there's going to be situations like that. But can you still praise him and say, you know what? As long as we got each other, as long as me and God, we're tight, I'm never letting him go, and I know he'll never let me go. Hey, I'm always going to love him. Can you say that? Because sometimes I hear Christians, you know, saying, I've given up on God. Look at all the mess that I have in my life. God doesn't care about me. Look what God has done. He's done nothing. And I go, man, if you only know how much he loves you, you got to hold on tight to the love relationship that you have with Father God. Because guess what? He'll never, ever let you go. And when we are in this time of darkness, we got to remember his light and what he had done for us. Well, what did he do for us? Why don't you look at 1 Peter 2:9? Can you read that with me? Ready? Go. But God chose you to be his people. You are royal priests. Stop right there. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a royal priest. Yeah, you all are. We all are because we put our faith in Christ. It says, you are a holy nation. You are a people who belong to who? To God. All of this is so that you can sing his praises. Okay, stop right there. He's giving you all this because, guess what? He wants your praises. Are you giving him praises? Because he chose you. Because he knew that your heart would be faithful to him. He knew that your heart would look to him as Lord God and King. And he says, he brought you where? Out of the darkness. And into where? His wonderful light. So you're no longer in darkness. You're in the light of God because he brought you out. Because you made a decision to receive his son into your life. So you're no longer in that darkness. Don't keep on saying, why am I still in the darkness? No, you're not. You believe in Christ, you're out of there. He's already taken you out. And because you made some bad choices, you may think you're still in the darkness, but you're not. You must go back into the light again, to the very light of God where he wants you to be. I want you to look at number 3 now. It says here, by choosing to love others rather than to hate. Okay, let's read this verse together. 1 John 2:10-12. Ready? Go. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because what? The darkness has blinded him. Wow. And that's what hatred can do. Hatred can make you spiritually blind. Even if you say you believe in God, you got hatred in your heart, even just a little bit of hatred, it's going to start to spiritually blind you. And suddenly the things of God become less and less. You know, there was this Spanish patriot and a ruthless explorer. His name is Panfilo Narvaez, okay? And he laid on the ground and he was dying because someone had just shot him, okay? So he has a gunshot wound on his body. So this priest came by and he knelt before him and he asked him, Panfilo, have you forgiven all of your enemies? You know what his reply was? Father, I have no enemies. I shot them all. Think about that for a second. What we realize when hatred dominates our minds, dominates our hearts, guess what? We're going to destroy all of our relationships. You know that? We got to let go of all the hatred. Let the love of God flow deep and strong. Let it flood your mind. Let it flood your heart. Because if we let it go on, yeah, the devil is going to be right there to destroy every single loving relationship that you have. And we know, guess what? God wants you to experience the blessings of the relationships that he wants to put forth in your life. But you know the devil, he wants you to be lonely and in the darkness all by yourself. Did you know that? That's what the devil loves to do. That's why he's trying to destroy all of our relationships. But we got to say, no, devil, you ain't going to do that. No, devil, in Jesus' name, I'm going to choose to love. Amen? That's when you let the light of God come into your life. You know, I got to tell you about this hotel manager. You know, this hotel manager, right, had grown tired of being yelled at by angry, dissatisfied customers who expected 5-star service at this cheap motel, okay? And so, you know, he's like, I'm just fed up, right? And like these customers are expecting like the top-notch service when they're just a Motel 6 hotel, okay? And so he said he could no longer stand the spray of spit coming from their mouths, landing on his face, right, as they complain. That's what he said. And he says, in one situation, this angry woman customer jumped up and down like a monkey. That's what he said. and flared her arms like a gorilla as she roared at him. And although it was quite stressful, right, it was also kind of amusing to him. And that observation gave him a brilliant idea. You know what he did? He put this giant mirror behind him, right, at the front desk. And guess what? All the customers' complaints just stopped. You know why? Because when the people saw how rude and hateful they looked while yelling and screaming at him, they stopped yelling and screaming. They saw how foolish they looked. It actually worked. It's actually something he did. And you know, it made me kind of think, you know, we got to ask the Holy Spirit to give us this kind of like a spiritual mirror, you know, because when darkness gets into our spirit and soul, we got to choose hate over love. Because guess what? The devil, he's going to try to speak things into our minds where he's going to convince us to get angry at someone or to just be easily offended at someone. But we need this spiritual mirror. Ask the Holy Spirit to show it to you. So you're not so much looking at a physical mirror. No, you're looking at the very reflection of God's word in your life as he will reveal it to you. As you're going to know, oh, this is something I shouldn't be saying. This is something I shouldn't be doing. It's the word of God that will reflect the light, that will bring forth the truth that you need to hear at that very moment so that you're going to make the right decisions. Amen? You're not going to say, okay, you know, you treat me bad, I'm going to treat you worse. That's not how it works. I'm sorry. Hey, as a Christian, we know the Bible says you return a curse with what? Another curse? Blessing. This is the way of God. And we know as we choose this way, guess what? The light of God will shine brightly because the world will go, hey, what's wrong with you? Wow, you truly are a godly person, because they're going to realize you're not like me. You're not like the world. And we got to be that reflection of Christ. Amen? And we ask God to help us every single day. There's not a day that you don't ask for help. Every single day you ask God for this help. I want you to look at number four. It says, by fixing our eyes on Jesus, how often? At all times. And you know, when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, you know, we're eventually going to find our way back home into the light. You may have been in darkness for a little while. You may have backslided. But you know, as you just make it that effort, even just a little bit, just to think on the goodness of God, to think of what Jesus did for you, eventually that light will come back into your life. And it's going to shine brightly once again as you keep going to him, as you keep trusting in him. I want you to look at Luke 11, 34 to 36. This is the Amplified version of the Bible. So I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, that means spiritually perceptive, focus on God, your whole body also is full of what? Light, benefiting from God's precepts. But when it is bad, which means spiritually blind, your body is also full of darkness. And what does that mean? You're devoid of God's word. Be careful, therefore, that the light that is in you is not darkness. So if your whole body is illuminated with no dark part, it will be entirely what? Bright, with light. And when the lamp gives you light with its bright rays. So it's all about, are you focused on God? Because if you fix your eyes on Jesus, this light will only get stronger. It'll only get bigger. It's when you know that the word of God is so evident in your life. You're always choosing the ways of God. And you're going to find yourself growing. You're going to find that your faith is getting bigger. It's getting stronger as you do it. Because it says when it is bad, that means you're spiritually blind. Guess what? You're going to be devoid of God's word. And we got to be careful. That's why it's so important. You know, I talk about this all the time. Get in the word of God every single day. Don't even miss a day. You know, every single day. Grab your Bible. You know, if you can't do it in the morning, just make sure you have that meeting time with God you just know that this is a time that is very important for you and for God. I want you to look at that next verse here in Hebrews 12:2. Can you read that with me? Go. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Well, you know, another translation says he's the author and he's the perfecter of our faith. And we know he is the one who initiated. You know the reason why you're a Christian is because of Jesus? Think about that. He initiated that. The reason why you are a believer is because Jesus called you out. I gotta say, we all should say, thank you, Jesus. He called us out. That's why your heart was convicted and you made that decision for him. It's because of Jesus. He's the author. He initiated it and he will perfect it. And the way it comes to perfection is your heart must keep on going to the word of God. This is key because, you know, that light will eventually burn out. If you stop going to God, you stop going to his word, you stop praying, you stop doing all the things that is required to make your relationships stronger with God, yeah, it will burn out. We got to make that effort. We got to say, Lord, I desire you more than anything else. And you make that effort to draw closer and closer to him because we realize he's the very one that helps you to turn your heart towards him when you're in the darkness. And as you find yourself being drawn into the very light of God, you will know that this is where you belong. You're going to realize, this is the light of God, and I'm at home. I don't want ever to stray. I don't want to be lost again. I want to stay home right here where God is. That's what we all must do. We got to desire God more than anything what this world can offer. We desire God and God alone. I want you to take a look at that bottom line verse now in Ephesians 5, 8 through 9 and 14. Can you read that with me? Ready? Go. At one time, you were in the dark, but now you are in the light because of what the Lord has done. Live like children of the light. The light produces what is completely good, right, and true. Light makes everything clear. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, then Christ will shine on you. Wow. You understand, this is the light of God. The light produces what? Everyone say completely. Completely good, right, and true. Because, you know, the world can say, yeah, I have light too. Check out my light. Well, if it's not the light of God, don't be readily desiring it because it may not be godly. The world may see it as good, but it ain't godly. Don't receive it. And you're going to know, you bring it up against the word of God. And if it goes against the word of God, reject it. Because what the world sees and what we see as light can be drastically different. And you always bring it up to the very light of the gospel, of the scriptures, according to what the Bible tells us. And you won't go wrong. Amen? You're going to stand on solid ground. And that's why it says the light produces what is completely good, right, and true. And it makes everything clear. You know, there was this early church father. His name was Jerome. And he had a dream one night in which Jesus visited him. And in the dream, Jerome collected all his money and offered it to Jesus as a gift. And you know what Jesus says to him? Jerome, I don't want your money. So Jerome, he rounded up all his possessions and tried to give them all to Jesus. And Jesus responded, Jerome, I don't want your possessions. So Jerome, he then turned to Christ and asked, so what is it that I can give you? What do you want, Jesus? And Jesus simply replied, Jerome, give me your sins. That is what I came here for. I came to take away your sins. You think about that. Who else would make such a request? Who would want our sins? Muhammad? Buddha? No other religious leader ever made such a request. I want your sins. Everyone else wants the best of what we have to offer. And only Jesus, he will ask for the worst. Why? Because he loves us. He cares for us in such deep, meaningful ways. And only Jesus asked for our sins. Only Jesus came into the world for this very purpose, to take away our sins. And we realize sin is the very thing that will just create just a greater darkness in our lives. Unless we say, Lord, I surrender it to you, we can never truly experience that fullness of God's light in our lives. We must give it all to him. Amen? And say, Lord, help me. Because I know sometimes people say, but you don't understand, Pastor. It's so hard. It's so difficult. Well, you keep on asking God for help. He will help you. And you're going to find the victory through Jesus Christ. You know, in John 1:29, look in your notes. It says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away what? The sins of this world. He takes away the darkness. He takes away all the strife. He takes away all the things that will create misery in your life as you entrust your life to Jesus. The question is, have you given your life to Jesus? I want to conclude by showing you this video. It's one of my favorite songs. I know you may not have heard of him. His name is Gary V. How do you say it? Valenciano? Yeah, he's a singer, a very well-known. You ever heard of him in the Philippines? But it's called Take Me Out of the Dark, one of his most popular songs. He became a Christian. He was just like a Michael Jackson of the Philippines. I mean, he was that popular. But then he became a Christian, and he started singing Christian songs. And this is one of his more popular Christian songs. Benson, can you go ahead and play that?
I feel this way. Now I've never known a man because he loves us so. He's promised us eternity, and we can have that promise and be his if we have faith and just believe. Teach me to trust in you with all of my heart, to lean not on my own understanding, 'cause I just forget. You won't give me what I can't bear. Take me out of the dark, my Lord, 'cause I don't wanna be alone. Take me out of the dark, my Lord, I don't wanna be there. No, no, my Lord.
Starts with us. Are you telling God, I don't want to be there anymore? I just don't want to be in the dark. I want to be in your light. I don't want to stay in the light, Lord. And you got to let the devil know, I ain't ever going to go back there. I'm staying right where God wants me to be. And if you're in the light of God, know that your life will be blessed. But you got to make some changes. You got to say, Lord, I'm going to desire to do what your word tells me to do. And I know, Father, as I follow what you want me to do, I know I will be blessed. Because that's how powerful the light of God is. When it comes upon your life, you know what? You're going to walk around. People are going to know that you are a man or woman of God. Because people are going to say, wow, you know, just how you carry yourself, the things you say, the things you do. It's very reflective of who Jesus Christ is. That's what we need to do. We got to show to the world that truly Jesus Christ lives in us. And as you do that, guess what? People are going to say, hey, tell me more about your God. Because, man, I experienced the presence of God even when you're just around me. Let's be that true reflection of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen? Always go to God, ask for help, and he will help you. Why don't we go ahead, let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts, let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the message that was spoken through me today. Father, I thank you, Lord, that as you have spoken truth into our lives, we're going to choose your light. We want your light to be so bright in our lives that we know we're going to desire only the things that we know come from your word. And anything that is of the devil or of the world, we reject in Jesus' name. And we shall just receive the goodness that you desire for us. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I just listened to this message and I realize I may have been a Christian for some time now, but I know there are times I let darkness into my life. And sometimes I kind of wonder, will this darkness ever go away? But we know, as we read in the scriptures, it's a choice we make. As you just open your heart, even just a little bit, to say, Lord, I need your help. Even just a little, will you come in, Lord? I'm opening my heart. I'm tearing my heart open. Even just a little, so I can let your light in. Know that God, he will do his part. That as his light will come in, it will shatter the darkness. And as his light fills your heart, you know you're going to get back on track again. And you're going to go for the very things that pleases our Father. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you're saying, you know, Pastor Ben, that's me. And I'm going to choose to walk on those paths that shine forth the very light of God's word. No longer shall I receive the things of darkness. And I'm going to just rely on the strength, the power that God gives me so that I can have the victory. If this is the cry of your heart right now, can you raise your hand and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Father God, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father, you see all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I surrender all of me to all of you. Father, I don't want any darkness in my life anymore. Will you help me, Lord? As this is the cries of our heart, Father, I pray that you will let your light come straight from heaven right upon us right now. In Jesus' name, let your light shine so brightly upon us right now. As we're going to reject the things of darkness, we're going to embrace your light, Father. I thank you, Lord, knowing that you have done this, and we're just going to experience the fullness of your presence and your power as we totally trust in you. Father, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard people talking about having a relationship with Father God, with his son Jesus. What must I do? How do I get started in something like this? You can start off by praying this simple prayer, but it must come from your heart. It's crying out to God. You're saying, Lord, I don't want to do things my way anymore, because every time I try to do things exactly my way, I keep hitting a brick wall. Lord, I want to do it your way. And as you choose to receive Christ into your heart, you know God's presence will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come and reside in you. And Jesus will make your heart his home. And if you're saying, yes, Lord, I receive you. I'm saying yes to you with all of my heart. I want you to come in. Take over my life. If this is the cry of your heart right now, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm saying yes to Jesus. Yes to him with all of my heart, with all of my strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, you can put your hands down. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Pray it out loud. Let's pray together as a family. Mean it from your heart. As God is listening, he will show himself strong as you are sincere about this prayer. Just repeat these words after me. Say, Father God, I need you, and I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again, and he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, so I can hear myself. And so that the devil will know that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. I live for him only. Father God, I thank you for you have written my name in your Lamb's Book of Life. And I give you all the praises. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's give him a clap offering. Praise God.